Project, and obviously anyone, if anyone wants to talk to us about this project, we're always available, whether it's City Council, Planning Commission, City staff, or members of the public. Just let us know. We're always happy to discuss it and answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go ahead and open up questions for the applicant.
I'm Chris Bausch.
Thank you. Great project. I like to see the shift, usually the opposite. Got too many open mics. So great transition to housing. Thank you for that. We're staying with the project. Looking at the one of the slides, this might be just really premature, but I didn't see any transit stops. Is that something that you'd be amenable to down the road?
Correct. There's no transit stops shown. I think we're going through a traffic analysis, but it has.
Fine. I probably shouldn't be asking that question tonight.
That hasn't come up yet.
Okay.
It hasn't come up.
I'm thinking about people going to Cuesta College and trying to cross 46 on foot. That would be just a nightmare. I think that's the only question I have. I like the project, so thank you for bringing it forward for consideration.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lost our mic. Yeah. All right. We'll get back to you. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and open it up then to public comment. Anyone wishing to come forward, go ahead.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I mean, I think there's a variety of reasons why we're not getting people here, especially with the exodus out of California. What I wrote here, and I think his presentation proved that there's no such thing as affordable housing. No contractor can build a house more affordable than the next contractor. It's subsidies that usually help these projects along. I love it. I'm totally, I don't understand why the density term is being used, because there's, I thought my understanding with density is that we're trying to densify our downtowns and our neighborhoods so that it was more of a 15-minute walk city, accessibility to public transportation. My question, and I wrote this in 2023, October 3rd, a rent stabilization ordinance, much like every city has in SLO County and Monterey County, keep low-income housing for the District 1 farm workers. I think that that's probably one of the reasons why people leave. There's no rent stabilization here. I'm watching my rent go up $50, $63 every year and everything they can add in onto it. So I guess my question is why, I'm sure Jamie's shocked I'm not fighting this. I love it. But I think how are we going to be able to track how many are being, will be bought for rentals, short-term rentals? I also think the other reason why people are leaving, because we concentrate on tourism and not family. In order for, my nephew just moved here, my son is living here now. My sister just came for the first time and her husband loved it. They retire in 5 years. And I think the key word is retire. So I hope somewhere along the line that in order to keep some of us fixed income, low income people here, that we consider a rent stabilization and any kind of subsidies or assistance to get people into these units. I commonly see seniors having the hardest time finding an apartment. On Facebook, they are constantly saying that I need a new place. So I think it's great. I just don't think I also believe that we should use Union and 46 area to build a new kind of city, Paso Robles downtown, and kind of leave our beautiful downtown alone, because that's, you know, it's possible. We have so much land. I'm just not sure why we're going for the density terminology. Thank you.
Thank you. Dale?
Dale Augustin. When I came here in 79,
We had less than 10,000 people, as you know. But the state mandated a growth for all cities and counties. And so when we started the Wine Festival in 83 and brought in all the tourists, why, the eventual outcome was all those tourists coming here love Paso Robles. Now, in 79, I rented a house, and the people lived down in Southern California. And they told me they planned to retire and live in Paso Robles, but they knew if they didn't buy that house then, they would never be able to afford a house in Paso Robles. And that's what we're looking at. Everybody's coming here. The tourists that come here, they love it. And most of the tourists are retired or approaching retirement. So when they come here and they love it, they want to stay. So it isn't any mystery that the school population is going down, that our overall population per dwelling is going down. It's just inevitable because we're such a beautiful place to live. But unfortunately, it's become such that retired people are about the only people that can afford to live here anymore, sad as it is.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay, bring it back to council for questions and or action discussion. I had a couple questions, but you guys want to start first? Go ahead, Steve.
I'm prepared to make a motion, but I'll wait for other people.
Yeah, let's get the questions. Chris?
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for your presentation. I think it was very, very thoughtful. I appreciate that the applicants and staff is really looking at the whole picture in terms of options for us to be developing housing for a different clientele, right? I appreciate my colleagues' comments on transit. I certainly think we should be thinking about transit. I think a lot of people are thinking about it, and that should be kind of top of mind at the front end of these developments. Aside from the project, the conversation around the population and the demographic change, I think is very timely as we're going into some vision setting conversations, as we're looking forward. You know, I grew up here, I moved away, went to college, I didn't go far. I came back, I bought a house here. I could afford it. Like, the North County was affordable. So someone like me could come back to the North County, buy a house, and have a good life, right? And right now, I'm not sure if we're offering that opportunity in the county. And so what we lose, on one hand, we think, oh, this is great, the per head, per house number is going down. That buys us all sorts of surplus density units. But the flip side of that is a real change in the makeup of the community, a makeup of the workforce, a makeup of like who we are. And so, you know, I hope we think in these broader strokes as we move forward about the kind of town that we're trying to that we're handing off, you know, our legacy. So with that, I thought it was a great presentation. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anyone on this side? Warren, I had a question. These surplus density units, when we allocate them, is there some sort of provision in there that they either use them or lose them? In other words, if the project does not get built out, is there a method for getting those units back?
Yeah, it's included in the resolution that the council reserves the right to basically claw back the units if, you know, the project doesn't make, you know, adequate progress, which would be up to the council to make that determination. But that's in the resolution, just kind of to put everybody on notice that you could come back and rescind that and bring those units back if you determine, you know, the project isn't moving forward.
Yeah, we've done that on other ones, and I just want to make sure we're still good on that here. So, okay. All right. Looking for a direction?
Mayor Hammond, I'd like to make a motion, but first, I'd like to thank the applicant for a very nice presentation, thoughtful, and we need to build more houses. And that's from Mr. Thornburg's mouth himself, and he's speaking again on Friday. Anyway, so I'd like to make a motion that we approve Resolution 25XXX, reserving 154 units from the Cycle 2 surplus density units established by the General Plan Amendment 1901 for the Atmore Townhouse Project.
Second.
So a motion by Gregory, second by Beal. Discussion? Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah, we have that economic forecast this Friday, and it'd be interesting. For the last 10 years, he's been saying, build houses, exactly. All right, very good. Now we're on to consent item number 4, which was pulled by Councilman Strong. And who has that presentation on 4?
Mayor, I can take that one.
Okay.
So as I mentioned earlier, each year the City Council approves a calendar for the upcoming year to note when your regular City Council meetings will take place. Historically, this body has met on the first and third Tuesday of each month, with some limited exceptions. So the calendar for 2026 is located in your packet this evening. As proposed by staff, we would typically be having you meet on the first and third Tuesday of each month. I talked about a few exceptions earlier, which I'll cover now. The first is in January, because of some holidays and the timing around those holidays. Staff felt as though it would be most productive to hold the meeting on Wednesday, January 14th, as we did this year in January of 2025. We combined meetings and it worked out well. Staff feels like from a workload and item perspective, we can make that meeting manageable and that would work out. I failed to mention earlier that the first meeting in July, we typically cancel that because it is around the July 4th holiday. And around vacation times that we typically see both for staff and for the council. So that is proposed as part of what's on your agenda tonight would be to cancel the July 7th meeting. And then, as I mentioned earlier, November 3rd, we just wanted to highlight that for you. And at this point, we're not recommending you cancel that. In the packet that's before you, it is proposed that we have a regular meeting scheduled for Tuesday, November 3rd. We did want to note that that's election night. We typically try to keep that agenda light, but we also know that there may be other interests that evening that you may want to get to, and wanted to highlight that for you. We're not, again, as proposed, it's on there as a regular meeting to be held, but wanted to flag that for you. We did hold a regular City Council meeting in 2024. I don't believe Election Day in 2022 fell on one of our council meeting dates, but in 2024 we did hold a short meeting. No conflicts this upcoming year with the League of California Cities or any other sort of major events that we could see. So with that, be happy to answer any questions. We are looking for you all to approve either this calendar that's before you or a modified version, depending on your discussion this evening, so that we can get that on the various calendars and schedules and get ahead of 2026, which is right around the corner. So
I know that Labor Day this year fell in right behind one of our meetings. So this year looks like we're landing before the Labor Day. That September 1st is good because it's a week ahead. So, Fred, you had a comment?
Yeah, actually, when we first started doing it in meeting, that was before we complicated it with all these new things that we were doing. And the meetings would be like 5 minutes long. And people would go back and they could vote, because polls were still open, or they could do a number of things. We've complicated things to where we can't get out of here in less than a half an hour or more. And the worst one was we did have a meeting in under our modern system, and we had one of our major candidates miss his entire party. He never got to his own campaign party, so he missed it. Another one looked at some early results, and he said, "Oh, I'm winning. I've won the thing." And he announced this at the meeting. He went back and found out he lost. So I think it'd be better, especially on even-numbered years, to just move that calendar, because that's when we have our elections, and we never know what else is going to be on that ballot. There can be state items on that ballot that concern us. There can be local items on that ballot that can concern us. And we know for sure that we're probably going to have at least one county item that's going to concern us, and that's going to be an additional thing on the sales tax. And there's others. So I would really recommend that, at least for this year, and possibly just for even-numbered years, that we either not have the meeting, we cancel it, or move it to a different date.
So let me throw out, we've done Thursday meetings before. And in listening to Fred, that first week in November, we got the third on Tuesday. Is there any reason we couldn't continue or start the meeting on Thursday the 5th? I imagine it has a lot to do with load and what you're trying to get accomplished here, but is there any problem with anybody on that comment?
I'll be gone.
What else? Yeah.
And I'll be gone.
You will, okay.
On the 5th. As is one of the potential candidates on November 3rd. I think, given the propensity for everybody to vote early and have their ballots turned in, and we're just relying on staff to keep that meeting brief, I think that's a good reason to keep it brief. I don't see really, Fred, a reason to change.
Okay. Pro Tem Barrett?
I'm going to agree with Councilman Bausch. I've lived through it enough times, and staff has been really good at making our meetings short. And really, on a local election night, you know, nothing comes out till about 10 o'clock anyway. So, and I think it's our civic duty to be here for that, to be here during the meeting on election day. I think it's kind of a fun, special day to me, and some of us are nervous about it, but I sure like it because we're all here and we live through it. So that's my comment.
I have a question. What's the practice around the county or in other jurisdictions in terms of council meetings on election nights?
I may have to refer to the city clerk.
Many of the other cities cancel any meeting that they would have on that evening. I know this because...
Can you say that again? We have
many of the other cities in the county do go ahead and cancel a meeting that's held on election night. Typically, the tradition amongst the clerks within your county is to all get together that evening for dinner and to kind of go by the county offices and kind of just celebrate the moment of the election. So they don't have meetings that night as a general rule.
I mean, I would think if the meeting's short, if the history has been that the meeting has been short, how much are you really getting done during that meeting anyway, mm-hmm. right? I would imagine that people would be distracted. I would imagine that not a lot of people would be participating. So.
And we always have the option to cancel the meeting so many days before if we decide, you know, there's not need or there's very light to do. We can certainly take that option, but keeping it on the calendar at this point, I think, is probably fine. So let's get a direction.
Do you want to open it to the public?
Yeah, we can do that, sure. Anyone wishing to address this item, please come forward.
I just want to remind...
Your name?
Gloria Fema, Democratic Club, just to remind council that next November is midterms. Big federal elections. FYI.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. Bring it back to council for direction.
Mayor Hammond, I move we approve the city council meeting schedule. I did have one question for July. What's the scheduled date for the July meeting?
Yeah.
Mayor Pro Tem, the July schedule would have us meeting one time on the 21st. With the July 7th meeting being canceled.
So not the 14th?
The 14th would be a planning commission meeting.
Yeah, so you're saying you have it lit up as being a meeting on the 7th?
I know, I think, and again, city clerk can correct me, but I think this shows the typical days of our city council meeting, but I do believe we have proposed to cancel the July 7th meeting, correct?
That is correct. And if it was not referenced on the calendar that I gave you, that was my error. The 7th of July should have been shown as a cancel date.
So second with a friendly amendment to cancel the meeting on July 7th.
Okay.
Okay. I'll agree to that.
Thank you.
So right, for clarity, you're going to, the motion is...
Too many mics on.
So we have a motion by Gregory. Are you seconding, Chris? Okay.
With an amendment.
To do it as presented, except delete July 7th.
I think you're okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion by Gregory, second by Bausch, with the amendment to eliminate July 7th as a calendar meeting. Any discussion? Okay, we'll call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Move on to our city manager report. Mr. Huot.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Four items for you this evening. The first, earlier today, our fire department issued a news release announcing the fact that we will be putting in service its new paramedic squad effective Sunday, November 9th. This paramedic squad is funded through Measure J20, made possible through Measure J20. And the community may or may not know that medical emergencies really account for the majority of our fire department calls for service. And so this squad actually helps supplement response, provide highly trained paramedics and advanced life support capabilities. And what it also does is eliminates the need in a lot of cases to roll a fire apparatus, which is both a resource allocation benefit as well as, frankly, a cost savings to the city because of the wear and tear on those larger vehicles. So that's exciting. Thanks to Chief and his team for moving that forward. Also, thanks to Chief and his team for working with the League of California Cities. I think last week, the League published an article in its Western Cities magazine and online highlighting our goat grazing program. And that publication goes far and wide, both in the state and outside the state. So Paso Robles was front and center, highlighting this very unique and innovative program that's reduced fires in our riverbed. Second floor of City Hall, the City Hall on the second floor at that 1000 Spring Street. That remodel and modernization project is underway, so you'll not find any staff up on the second floor right now. We're kind of scattered about, with the exception of all of our front-facing permitting services and utility billing, which is located in the council chambers right now. So we're playing a little bit of musical chairs, but trying to keep our services as accessible as possible for the public. And then also some good news last week, we did receive word that the city is on track to receive nearly $17 million in federal funding to construct a new bridge over 24th Street over the railroad track. I want to give a special thanks to Frida Merman and Dita Esperanza. This has been years in the making, and although we don't have the funds in hand quite yet, it's probably as close as we're going to get right now. And that's really good news, because this is really what we've been working towards, is bringing that money to Paso Robles. And with that, I think that concludes. Oh, I did want to mention, I know we had a public speaker asking about a homelessness update, and I do believe that's on your next agenda. You receive a quarterly update from our homeless services manager, and that'll be on your next agenda.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Moving on then to council business and committee reports. I'd like to start with Chris Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank staff, Warren and Darren and Chris, public safety for our site visit up in the Uptown neighborhood. It was so helpful to hear from business owners and then to see firsthand what's going on with parking, speeding. Again, thanks to the chief for, I don't know what you call them, the blinking speed trailers. up in the neighborhood, it's really welcome. Let's see, I had my pizza with Chris last week. It was really nice. We had a lot of people there. Mr. Gustin was there. I appreciated there were people there that I knew, there were people there that I didn't know, and it's just a really good reminder to get outside of our circles to learn things that we wouldn't normally learn. I worked with some constituents on concerns with homelessness. I had several meetings on the light ordinance. Thank you, staff, for helping out with that. I also attended the apprenticeship awards. Really interesting. There's about a dozen people in the current class. It was put on by the Central Coast Trades Association. There were a couple of Paso Robles High School grads that were first-year apprentices, and they were very excited about that, you know, that this opportunity was leading to head-of-household jobs. And I certainly think we need to be thinking about that, and that a lot of the construction jobs are head-of-household jobs, and how important it is to be keeping, to be investing in those locally so that we have the dollars coming into our own economy and our own community. So that's it. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Chris. Councilman Bausch.
Thank you. I seem to have misplaced my notes, so the only thing I can recall at this point, the Paso Robles groundwater area, water basin meeting, very interesting, lots of discussion happening back and forth. Interesting to watch that process go forward. And then, of course, our thank you to all the applicants who came by the advisory body interviews with all of you. So thank you very much.
Very good. Councilman Strong.
Yes, relatively quiet since our last meeting. This next time, that's totally different. It's going to be very, very busy. But I do have a couple of questions. And I'm wondering, do we have a timeline yet on bringing back Hope's Village proposal?
I believe the direction I got last meeting was for staff to meet with the Hope's Village team. Staff did meet with their team today to better understand what they're proposing, and staff was then going to be discussing that internally for any follow-up or any feedback that we were then going to provide to the Hope's Village team. So that's the direction I have. If there was further direction or agendize an item, I would look to the council to make that request. Otherwise, I was planning to follow up with you all to summarize what staff's communication and review of the proposal was.
I would just expect that you will report out once you've spoken with them, Chris. That's what I'm looking for. So.
And my next question then is, I received a letter from one of our constituents, and evidently a lot of our other cities are very concerned now because they were approached by an organization that protects animals, and they say that a lot of pets are being killed by the county homeless or the county shelter for animals in 3 days. And that's barely, you know, their owners are still looking for the pets, expecting them to come back or having even totally thought they were lost. And so they finally realize it is, and they reported, oh, your animal's already been put to death. Well, that's horrible. And Morro Bay has already done it, and I think Rover Beach or one of the others down south have written letters asking the county to reconsider and extend that time for at least 7 days. So give the owner at least 7 days to report their missing dog and come and pick up their pet. And I'm going to request that maybe we consider sending that letter. If we have to agendize that item, that's fine. And it can be done just by an executive decision. But I think it should be a city letter.
Maybe we could reach out to Dr. Eric Anderson and ask him what his policy is and report back to us.
I can bring that information back. I'll also reach out to my colleagues in Grover and in Morro Bay to see what they've done.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yes.
So I attended the Airport Commission on the last meeting, and three of our commissioners are retiring this year that have been there for 9 years. And so it was really a nice meeting, thanking everybody, especially Eric and Mark Dart. And
Connie Gaspar.
Gaspar, yep. And so we have a new wave of commissioners coming. That'll be nice. I was also, I had the opportunity to go out and check out the open house for the master plan of the airport, and saw a lot of interesting ideas and potential future for the airport, and that was very exciting. had breakfast with Supervisor Bajon and Ms. Mayor Hammond also, and that was really nice. It was a great Halloween night. I was too afraid to go downtown, but we went the next day, and Augie found every piece of candy on the in the park. But it was good. We helped clean it up. Then I'd like to say thank you to our staff, as always, for a great job we all do. Please keep up the good work. It's really nice to live in a city that the staff feels like they're part of our family. So, I also like to give a shout out to Ava Hotel for opening yet another new restaurant at Emory. Had the pleasure of eating there to see what it's like, and recommend everybody give it a try. It's a little bit different. It's Middle Eastern food, but I like that kind of food. But it's nice to see them opening and getting lots of people coming in. I do have a couple of recommendations or suggestions. The first one would be, what does everybody think of term limits on the council? Are they interested in bringing that back for discussion?
Yes, absolutely.
I could do that, yeah.
There's three or?
Yeah, there's probably a big forum to talk about that. Right.
Okay, and it won't be retroactive, just discussion. So can we bring that back for a discussion? Just to see what it looks like. The other thing, I'm not sure, there's kind of two things that involves the same company, but I met with my constituents for my coffee and had lots of really interesting and good ideas. One of the things that came up, and I've heard it for years now, is the bike lanes don't seem to be swept often enough. So I wanted to find out from city manager or whoever, maybe we could talk to our street sweeper or put the funding in to keep those swept. So is that a possibility to bring that back?
Yes, Mayor Pro Tem, what we can do is reach out to Paso Robles Waste, who does street sweeping. And I can reach out to you if there are specific areas or just a general comment. We can work with them on reviewing that. I'd like to start there, and then if there's any supplements or anything we need to do further, we can bring back any sort of discussion item on that.
That includes the new East Side development, by the way. They're already needing treatment. So. I think I'll just leave it at that. One more suggestion. And I have to say it because the Queen wanted me to say it. So, the Queen of the parade. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to have our trash collection company send out notices to have people please bring in their trash cans after they're emptied? Sometimes they sit out there for weeks at a time or days at a time. And
we can definitely brainstorm with them when we also bring up the street sweeping item to see if there's anything else we can do.
Adding fuel to the fire. So.
Yeah.
And then one more thing. We're having a party here next Wednesday the 12th. There will be tacos, enchiladas, all kinds of really good food with all our food purveyors and hot dogs. Anyway, just kidding. We're talking with our
ad hoc. Steve's buying.
Yeah. And I'd like to also mention again that I actually got a drawing of a food truck court from a guy named Brett Butterfield, which I'll forward to you, Warren. But I think it would be a really interesting idea to get that at the same time we get our rules and set for that. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. For myself, I had started off with the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority meeting, and we're still going through the system. It's one good thing about Paso is that we are funded, you know, through our water rates to supply funding for our GSA, as opposed to the others are not really funded at all. So we're moving forward. We're going to, you know, continue on with getting a plan to move ahead to support the authority or not. We're good till the end of next June fiscal year. So IWMA was also in there, and we also have a integrated waste management summit actually this Thursday morning at the Lake Pavilion in Atascadero. I think it starts at 8 and goes to noon. And it's all about
recycling and all about what we put into landfills, so that'd be interesting to attend. Also, our airport master plan, worked on that with our airport staff, getting through that. That's a main component for our application toward FAA spaceport license. Also did the Halloween downtown, Chief Nord. I think you guys had most kids around your unit and a lot of candy going out by your staff. That was really good, and they were really blowing that horn a lot too, so that was fun. This Friday we have the economic forecast. It's going to be interesting. One thing I want to throw out to the council is that I'd like to see if maybe we could think about maybe a city flag. As far as I know, I don't think we have an official city flag for Paso Robles. And I think it's a project that we can kind of get together and propose and see what we want to do with it. I think it'd be interesting to come up with some concepts. You know, the one that most easily, of course, is our seal, which is beautiful. And, you know, we can certainly do something like that. But anyway, it's an item that I'd like to try to bring forward.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I think everybody's good on that one.
Yeah.
My only recommendation is let's have some artists involved.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to get...
Not metal artists.
Yeah. I would say we can let it out to all kinds of kids for thoughts and bring it forward. That'd be fun to kind of do in this next few months. So that's all I had at this point. Upcoming events, we have the Paso Robles Youth Commission Advisory Committee meeting November 5th at 5 o'clock in this room. The Paso Robles Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meeting November 10th, 1:30, and that's at the Senior Center. The Development Review Committee November 10th, 3:30 in this room. Paso Robles Park and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting November 10th, 4 p.m. And that is usually over in the other rooms, I think, across the way at Centennial here. City offices will be closed in observance of Veterans Day, November 11th, coming up. And Library Board of Trustees, November 13th, 9 a.m. And then we have Elegant Eating coming November 15th, 5 p.m. Development Review Committee, November 17th, 2025, at 3:30 in this room. Our next Paso Robles City Council meeting is going to be here on the 18th in this room. And I'll also add Paderewski. Paderewski Festival is this weekend. A lot of things going on starting Thursday, Friday into Sunday. So if you're interested, there's going to be a lot of different things happening around town with that. We're actually having a meeting with the Polish ambassadors. There's going to be two of them coming from Poland. So other than that, I think that's all I had, unless anybody else has anything good. Christmas.
Just one upcoming event on Friday night here at Centennial Park. The Youth Commission, along with the City of Paso Robles Recreation Services, will be hosting a free, fun teen night. Starts at 6, goes till 9. Should be a lot of fun if previous events have been any indication. It's a good event, well attended.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's for youth grades 6 through 12.
6 through 12. Very good. Okay, then we'll go ahead and call for adjournment. Make a motion.
So moved.
So we have Pro Tem Gregory, second by Beal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned.
Thank you for listening to tonight's Paso Robles City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
Fraud and misabuse of this stuff going on, buddy. I mean, you'd be surprised what we would save if we do this.
Oh, I think you're right. And JW, I think there's a way within the current law you can do it, because the current law says to be on these social welfare programs, if you are childless and of working age, so you're not a child, you're not a senior, and you're not disabled, and you don't have any kids, you got to work at least 20 hours every week, 80 hours a month. Now, that's reasonable. That's half time. That's a pretty light requirement. And if you say, well, do you have a job right now? No. Are you looking for a job? Well, sort of. and you say, okay, if you're looking for a job, since a huge number of jobs require a drug screen to get in, let's do a drug screen on you right now. Oh, you've got pot, you've got heroin, you've got fentanyl in your system. Therefore, you can't be looking for a job because you just self-disqualified yourself from a huge number of jobs that are available in America. You're off food stamps till you go out and get a job. And make it that simple. I think that would clean up the rules quickly. You get rid of all the illegal aliens. You get rid of all the deadbeats who just want to sit on mom's couch and play video games instead of actually going out and working part-time. And for all the people who are hard-working individuals, and again, I'm talking about childless working-age adults. I'm not talking about the single mom with two kids whose husband ran out on her. I'm talking about childless working-age adults. You clean those roles up, and you get all those extras off the rolls, you'd end up with a system that could actually be funded very easily.
That's right. I agree with that. And, you know, like I said, not just a recertification, but reapply. I mean, go back from the bottom and come back up again.
Yeah, and if you've got income already and you can't explain where the income's coming from, you may have other problems. They might want to have the IRS talk to you as well. JW, thanks for the call. Let's go to David in California. Hey, David, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Lars, I was originally going to talk about the New Jersey election and all the death threats that were there, but while I was sitting on hold, I noticed Warren Buffett has come up. He did a kind of an editorial about the two newest of the impeachment charges against Trump, and they basically have to do with creating fake enemies and then getting a top-secret budget to be able to play with messing with his enemies. So, you know, if somebody wants to call themselves a fiscal conservative with America's money, and then you find out that the president is using the taxes to ruin the lives of people he doesn't like, that is not fiscally conservative.
No, but tell me this, David, I'm not sure what you mean by Buffett and impeachment, because Buffett's a billionaire. Impeachment is something else. Where are you getting all this?
Oh, it's an editorial that he put together. I saw it on a YouTube, and it's basically...
Don't believe everything you see on YouTube.
Buffett is 94 years old right now, and so it's a narration, basically, of his piece. But the first... there was a newer charge of... there are over 25... counts for the impeachment now sitting in the House.
Now, hold on. Do you really believe that any of that justifies the impeachment of the current president of the United States?
Well, of course. I mean,
why?
The guy is not only nuts, but he's playing with our lives. You know, if really 46 million people are going to go hungry, and this guy is just playing games.
Hold on. Who is playing games right now? The federal government is shut down because the Democrats have said we will not vote for the funding bill. The Republicans gave them a clean, continuing resolution, basically a status quo budget. It doesn't have any of the reductions a lot of Republicans might like. It doesn't have any of the increases, the $1.4 trillion the Democrats like. So who's playing games? Is it Donald Trump or the Democrats?
Well, specifically with SNAP, Donald Trump has been told that there is money and he can.
There's $6 billion which would fund SNAP for the next 2 weeks. Are you aware of that, David? The government's been shut down for a month because of the Democrats, and there's 2 weeks worth of funding, and that's emergency funding. But thanks for the call, David. Hey, every year around this time, everybody starts coming down with something. Having your meds ready means you can act fast when somebody in your family gets sick. It's simple and better to have it on hand and not need it than need it and not have it. Don't let a simple cold or infection ruin your family time or your travel plans. That's why Americans are choosing All Family Pharmacy, an independent pharmacy that believes in medical freedom. Order everything safely online. 300 trusted medications available, including antibiotics like amoxicillin, doxycycline, and Z-Pax as well. Orders ship fast directly to your door. No waiting rooms, no insurance hassles, no nonsense. Your health, your choice, your freedom. AllFamilyPharmacy.com/Lars and use code Lars10. That's All Family Pharmacy.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text HIM to 369369 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text HIM to 369369. That's HIM to 369369.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Been any disease.
Most business owners agree 72% plan to sell their business to fund their retirement, but 98% don't know what their business is worth. A bit of a disconnect, don't you think? Clarity on your business value provides actionable insights for retirement, succession, and estate planning, as well as guidance on improving your company's performance. Business owners, I'm Barry Fisher, Blazin Bear Insurance. Protect what matters to you and your family. Call today. Learn more about how you can secure your most important asset. 805-635-7200.
The Pet Department in Paso Robles, where they meet all your varied pet needs with a broad inventory, knowledgeable staff, and a huge spectrum of live animals and boutique pet grooming services on site. They carry flea, tick, and mosquito treatments for both cats and dogs, and they have a variety of both grain and grain-free wet and dry foods for cats and dogs with the best prices in the county. The Pet Department, locally owned, open 7 days a week, across from the post office, 6th and Spring in Paso Robles.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecue tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
This hour of Lars Larson brought to you by Seniors Helping Seniors. Call 805-369-2110 or at seniorcareslo.com.
Facebook, X, and Google may censor you, but you'll never find censorship here.
Don't censor me!
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails. Even a union boss kind of froze up when asked if the government should impose contracts without the workers' votes. Should bureaucrats set your wages, or should you do that? Vinny Vernuccio is president of the Institute for the American Worker. Vinny, welcome back.
Hey, Lars. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, by the way, would you let my audience know what's going on in this? How in the world did they end up in this situation where even the union bosses kind of, it took them aback when they said the government should impose contracts without worker votes? Is that what happened?
That is exactly what happened. So backing up, there are two bills. One is the Union Democrat Wish List Bill, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. And that has a provision that says that if unions, a new union and an employer can't get to a first contract in a quick enough amount of time, that the government could actually impose a bureaucrat appointed binding arbitration panel to write that first contract. So that is in one of this like omnibus Democrat wish list bill. And then it was taken out by, unfortunately, Republican Senator Josh Hawley and created in the Faster Labor Contracts Act. So without getting into naming bills or who was supporting it, Senator Cassidy, at a recent hearing I just testified at, simply asked the question, hey, what would have, you know, should workers be taken out of the vote for that first contract? And there was a machinist union shop steward that said, no, that's undemocratic. That's against exactly what the union is there for. So, you know, when you describe what these bills do, not doing the names, not doing who's sponsoring them or supporting them, but just describing what they do, even union officials go, yeah, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Why are they doing it then? What's the aim, and how did they come up with this kind of weird system saying if the workers can't approve, can't agree on it, we'll just impose it on them and then they'll get to decide later on the next contract? Is that it?
Well, the problem is that once you have that first contract, that is essentially the basis for what is renegotiated, and essentially that's, you know, that's the starting point for subsequent contracts. So, unfortunately, you know, what you see with a lot of union contracts is they get to such minutia and they are so specific that you really can't have this bureaucrat-appointed arbitration panel getting into the nitty-gritty because they're not on the ground. They don't know what the employees want or what is going to make sure that that employer is competitive and keep paying good wages and providing those jobs. What they're going to probably do is look, okay, well, what does, you know, the employer next to them, and then you're going to start to see these contracts that are starting to look very similar, and you know that's the problem, not just for the employers that want to be innovative, but also for the employees that, you know, frankly want some competition.
Well, I mean, for example, you say it gets into minutiae. My audience knows I'm not a fan of unions, but say you've got a particular kind of workplace and you say, we need a break every 2 hours and we need 15 or 20 minutes. We work a hard physical job. Well, there may be another workplace where the boss goes down and says, hey, would you guys like to work through your breaks? Maybe take a 5 minute break to hit the bathroom. But other than that, work straight through. I'll get you out of here half an hour earlier every night. The workers might say, hey, boss, that sounds like a great idea. Let's go for that. Only they can't because they're strapped to a contract that was copied off some other workplace that isn't at all the same.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, that's what, you know, the people supporting that PRO Act, you know, the Bernie Sanders of the world. And unfortunately, even like Senator Josh Hawley is, they want these one-size-fits-all solutions. And that's really, you know, Lars, I know we've talked about this in the past. You know, that's the real problem with unions today. They're stuck in this industrial revolution mentality, and their business model is based in the 1930s, and they don't have the flexibility or the individuality that today's workers want. And they are stuck with the, well, it's in a contract. We can't do anything about it. We can't work one-on-one.
You know, it's funny because I had a boss once who also wasn't the biggest fan of unions, but I talked to him about it once and he said, yeah, he says in a lot of ways a union contract's very easy because I don't have to deal with the individual problems of individual workers. They just come in and I tell them, this is what the contract says I pay you, and this is what the contract says your conditions are. I'm not allowed to vary from that, so you're stuck with it. And it made life very easy for him because he had one entity he had to negotiate with every couple of years. And then everybody got treated the same. Even though, Vinny, I don't know about you, but when I've had coworkers, there are coworkers who want to be treated one way, who want to be treated a different way. They all want to be treated as individuals. And the union contract wants to treat you like a widget.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's because based in this, you know, basically 100-year-old business model, that it was for an unskilled industrial factory workforce, not for today's modern flexible economy. And you told the story of that employer that you know liked it. I actually think unions could thrive if they get rid of the government granted crutches. And acted like professional service organizations. And frankly, there could be employers out there that actually want to work with them. But unfortunately, with that failed, outdated business model, they're just doubling down on the adversarial, one-size-fits-all way of the past. And, you know, that's why I think they continue to decline. But, you know, thankfully we're seeing workforce protections that are being pushed in Congress, like Senator Scott and Representative Allen's Employee Rights Act, which has, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, pro-worker things that put employees first.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's as you point out, what is it, 94% of American workers have chosen not to be represented by unions. Only about 6% of private sectors say, yeah, I want a union telling me what I can do and what I can't. That's Vinny Vernuccio, president of the Institute for the American Worker. Vinny, thanks very much. By the way, let's talk about diets for just a moment. You know, all those diets you've had or tried over your decades, things like the cabbage soup diet or raw food diet. You know, by the time the average person hits age 60, they've lost and regained several hundred pounds. That's called weight cycling. It's where you add 10 pounds, then you take 10 pounds off. Then you add 10 pounds back and put a couple of more on top. That puts a tremendous strain on your organs. It can lead to serious health issues like diabetes and liver damage, heart attack, and stroke. The bottom line, most people need help to stop weight cycling. There's a great way to get that done. Non-prescription Lean, created by doctors. I've used it myself. Lean is an oral supplement, not one of those GLP-1 injectables. It helps maintain your healthy blood sugar, controls your appetite and cravings, burns up fat by converting it to energy. Burning that fat keeps the weight off. If you want to lose meaningful weight at a healthy pace and then keep it off, add Lean to your diet and exercise lifestyle. Get 20% off when you enter Lars at TakeLean.com. That's code Lars at TakeLean.com. You can podcast this show, stream it, or download it. And, of course, you can always tell Alexa to play.
The Lars Larson Show.
Brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work, demolition, mowing, brush removal, and more. No job is too small. Clouds tonight and overnight, lows in the mid-50s, low 60s for Wednesday with about a 30% chance of rain. Later in the day, Thursday, partly cloudy, low 70s. Weather was brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work. 805-440-6361.
Are you buying or selling property? Your real estate agent is the key figure in all real estate transactions. We ask Gabby Romo, why choose you?
One of the things is the broker that I'm with, Central Coast Sotheby's International Realty. The name in and of itself, Sotheby's. It's a brokerage that is quality. It's a brokerage that provides value. It's a brokerage that provides clients first. One of the things that separates us from others is we're always there for our client, whether it's a holiday, whether it's 7 p.m., or whether it's 5 a.m. It could be a phone call, it could be a text, it could be an email letting them